How many of y'all believe that to be absolutely true? Anybody here believe that to be absolutely true? If you got your Bibles with you, you know, how many of y'all know what we're going to do this year? Anybody know what we're going to do this year? Oh, man, that's weak. Anybody know what we're going to do this year?
Tell us.
All right, good. Y'all going to have to pick up the volume if they're going to hear it, okay? And so one of my missions is this, that you'll talk more than the devil. Is that cool that you'll talk more than the devil? So you're going to have to talk a little bit because he talks a lot. But here's some good news. A little bit of talk about Jesus will dilute a whole lot of talk by the devil. You see, when you don't have it going on, you all know this. You've watched this. You've observed this in life. Those who can't talk, those who can are. Jesus is. He is what we've sung about today. He's the reality of our lives. And I want to give you five. These are five involvements, engagements in our spiritual life that help us tell it. So let's go to Acts 2. I want to give you the setup here. This is what goes on in Acts 2, okay? This is where church starts, is in Acts 2. The people go and wait. God sends the power of His Holy Spirit. Guess what? The craziest disciple gets anointed. Peter, the mouth of the Middle East. He gets, after he's blown it with Jesus, he gets the call, and guess what he preaches? He doesn't preach about social justice. He doesn't preach about the economy. He preaches Jesus crucified and resurrected, and guess what? 3,000 people come to understand that they can be connected to an almighty God, and 3,000 of them are baptized that day. So everybody got that? Say, I get it, so I can march on. Now, who do you think was in the crowd in Jerusalem? Who do you think gathered in that crowd to hear the gospel? I bet there was some thieves in the crowd. How many of y'all think there was any crooks in the crowd? I bet there was some adulterers in the crowd. What do you think in the crowd? I bet there was some homosexuals in the crowd. What do you think? We act like that's new, that's only occurred since 1960. Go read some Roman history. Here's what I'm showing you, because it's going to blow you away. Everything you hear in the world today has already gone on before. All the corruption, all the twisting, all the comments. Bill Maher is so out of date. He is so Roman anti-God. I mean, that was, you know, 2,000 years ago. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is currently involved with you. You know how I said that? Currently. He wasn't just involved yesterday, but he was involved in yesterday. And he's not just involved today, but he is involved today. But the good news of the gospel is Jesus is willing to be involved tomorrow. How many of y'all glad to know that tomorrow Jesus will be involved? For those of you that are like me, how many of you all, you probably don't like, any of y'all got like this? Mondays just aren't as cool as Fridays. Any of y'all got that groove in your week? Okay, you got to start Monday out. But you know what? Here's what I say now. God has already been through the Monday that I'm going to go through. And so I need to step into this day with God. Now, let me give you some heads up. First of all, there are five things that I want you to really examine at Hillview. You're in one of them right now, okay? What in the world keeps you moving? What in the world keeps you alive? How in the world do you get discipled? You know, we got this churchy word, discipled. And, you know, and a lot of my colleagues say, well, we need to have discipled churches. And, you know, I kind of get this picture of this 1970 California motorcycle gang, the disciples, you know. What does it mean to be discipled? Well, it really means this. You know, let's make it work. I need to be engaged, okay, girls? Because y'all hear that on campus, don't you? Get around all the Christian-y groups, and they say, well, you need to be discipled. This is our WKU ladies softball team. And guess what? Y'all are discipled every day. To play the game of softball, you are discipled, right? That means you go, and help me if I'm wrong, but the last time I checked, if you're going to be involved in athletics, you have to do something on a daily basis called practice. Is that true? And so the more you practice, the theory is the more you practice, the better you what? Become. If you practice at the right what? Things. Mr. Stahl, you're a great hunter. Before you go out on some of your great excursions hunting out west, you have to do what? Practice, don't you? You have to be, my hunting buddy said, I got to be locked in. I got to have my shot on, okay? Now, anything you do, how many of y'all find that you have to be involved in it to improve in it? That includes marriage. If y'all notice, if you don't talk to each other for about 6 months, this causes marital problems. How many of y'all have made that observation? If your greatest intimacy is a text every once in a while, that's called deep marital problems, okay? If you're more energized by others than the one that's going to take half your income, you have some serious problems, okay? So you need to wake up to reality. You got to practice it. So I want to start there. These are practices that involve us. Okay, can you write that down? You note takers need to write that down. Practices that what? Involve us. Now, the first is this. The cross and the resurrection take a lead. Do y'all understand that? Now, David, I don't just make this stuff up off the top of my head, okay? I want you to see, if you're going to hang out at Hillview Heights Church, for you to understand Hillview Heights Church, you must understand Acts 2. That's where this church comes from. So God gives power to the church, okay? They had so much power that the scripture says there were tongues that seemed as fire that fell upon them, okay? And that's real, okay? I'm asked all the time, do you believe in tongues? Yeah, Acts 2 tongues. I don't believe in gibberish to recognize yourself as super spiritual. I believe in tongues that fall so that God would be communicated. That's Acts 2. It's balanced. And by the way, if you notice, they didn't jump around and go in circles. They preached the cross and resurrection. I've been to some tongues meetings where everybody just jumped around and did cartwheels. And after it was over, everybody was tired. Nobody was saved. That's called false spirit. Make sense? The devil will jump you. He just won't save you. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? The devil will let you feel good in the worship service. And you feel holy. But you won't be changed. Make sense? You'll know if you met with God on Sunday. You know when you know if it's really God? On Monday. Amen? On Monday when you meet the world. And you know that, wait a minute, I got the power of God to go through this. Five practices that change our existence. Number one, you got to be engaged and involved in worship. Worship is not an observational experience. Make sense? You got to get on the field with it, man. You got to sing. I appreciate y'all singing today. How many of y'all have sing even if you can't? How many of y'all have ever done that? You sing, you know you can't sing. Okay, now I want to help some of you men out. I didn't used to sing a lot. And the reason I didn't sing, because I didn't think it's manly. And then I realized, I said, wait a minute, it's got to be manly. Because some of the manliest men I know were those boys that marched around the city and they sang there at Jericho. And God said, go sing and shout unto the Lord. Do it 7 times and the wall fall down. And I think about it, Coach, there was some pretty mean suckers in that group singing songs. God wants us to sing unto them because, watch this, when do we sing? Come on, when do we sing? When do you sing, man? But then, okay, you like to sing, right? Are you a country singer? No, you just rock and roll singer. A rapper? No, just a singer. Okay, cool. You sing, Tracy, when? When you're happy. How many of y'all sing when you're happy? How many of y'all sing when it's, I mean, you know it's going to be a day things are going to happen good. Like, how many of y'all sing, like, the day you know you get to go trade cars? I do. I sing that day. Today, we're going to trade it. And then 3 days later, when the payment book comes in, then you go country. I'm broke and lonely. Okay, see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? But we sing. And guess what? We need to worship. Singing's a part of worship. And we need to give that up to God. Now, listen, Hillview, I want you to know this. Listen, we're getting a little bit older as a congregation. This is our 22nd year to hang out together. And guess what? That's no big deal. That's young. That's a baby. That's a baby, okay? We're barely licensed, okay? And so here's what I want you to know, though. As we age, we need to become more fervent, not less fervent. See, this is what's cool about the Spirit of God. The deeper you get in, the more energy you receive. That's in the spiritual. In the physical, the longer you go, the slower you get. Have y'all noticed that to be true? Y'all don't see any like 90-year-old Olympians, do you? I mean, y'all didn't see anybody this past Olympics, 95 years old lining up because they're getting ready to break 100. How many of y'all saw 90-year-olds getting ready to go do that? No, because in the physical, the older we get, what? Slowly we get. But now some of you young bucks in here, don't be grinning. Don't be looking at old people going, yeah, that's what happens to old people. No, because we still one time as good as we've ever been, okay? That's what happens as it goes along, all right? But all you young people, you go, I'll get over it. Uh-uh. Here's the problem with youth. You don't have any sense. And that's what heaven is. You get the body of your youth with the wisdom of your age. Man, if I had this wisdom now with my 20-something energy, whoo! How many of y'all wasted a lot of energy in your youth? You'll worship things that just didn't need to be worshiped. What if you had the wisdom ability of now with the incredible physical stamina of yesteryears? Elizabeth, think how blessed you would be. But now, we're in it together. God's in it with you. Go with me to Acts 2. All of these people get saved. I want you to know that baptism is important. I know I talk about that all the time, Donna. And the reason I talk about that all the time, it happens to be in the Bible. In these 3,000 people, they ask Peter. Peter was preaching the cross, that Jesus died on the cross, that he's risen from the grave. Peter's preaching the gospel. You know, he's not talking about how to be a successful businessman. He's not talking about the social injustice of Jerusalem. He's not preaching against sin. He's preaching against sin. And he tells people to repent. And guess what? The people get so worked up about Jesus, they say, what must we do? Now look at what Peter tells. Verse 40. Acts 2. He said, save yourself. With many other words, he warned them. And he pleaded with them, what? Save yourselves from this corrupt what? Generation. Boy, does that sound familiar? How many of y'all are one of these? Listen, I'm going to give you a pet peeve. Hillview, please do not be a chicken little Christian here at Hillview, okay? Y'all remember the story, Chicken Little? Anybody remember that? Or is that story so old we don't tell it to our kids anymore? Chicken Little, the sky is what? Y'all remember that when you were a little kid. You know, Chicken Little, she'd walk around and the sky was falling. The sky was falling. Well, there's a lot of believers. I call them Chicken Little believers. You know what I mean? They always look at the sky is falling instead of he is coming. And then they don't even realize this. He has come. He is present. Are things any worse today than they were before? I don't know if they're worse or not. I know they are. You know, I read a lot of history. Rome was as crazy as today. It's just they had to send messengers and it took them a few days to get the message over there. And now we can send them Instagram. I don't know if it's any more corrupt. I just know that we can expose corruption quicker from a communication standpoint. Make sense? Everything you see going haywire today went haywire in Rome when Jesus was present. Amazing, isn't it? As Jerusalem is being preached to, it is under the oppression of Rome. And Jesus' preaching brings 3,000 to a new life. 3,000 of them were baptized. Okay, how many? 3,000. So I want you, how many, once again? How many? 3,000. You know, I got some young preachers now, they're telling me, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, God doesn't move in big churches. I go, really, really? I said, do you all reading the Disney handbook of the Bible now, or do you actually ever read the real thing? I said, if you look at the beginning, how many were baptized? 3,000. That's a lot of folks. It wasn't a few folks hiding out. God moved in a big way. Now, I give them credit. Yes, there were 120 faithful people that started it, and then it did something. I want you to know that God is designed to do something. Y'all see the rhythm here. God wants people connected. I don't make this up. That's his heart. That's what he does. He reaches out and he saves. So there's five things we need to get involved in. And look what they did afterwards. I mean, there'd always be somebody that go, okay, we're saved. Now what? How many of y'all have ever asked that question? Okay, it's great. I'm out of the baptistry. Now what? How in the world do I grow? How in the world do I make sense of what God's done in my life? Five things. You hear about them here at Hillview, but I wanted to review them. By the way, here's some research I found. If you're involved in these five elements, faith practices, Doc, guess what will happen? You'll grow. You know, I know that you deal with mothers, which is a calling of Jesus Christ himself. Doc delivers babies, okay? And so after you deliver these babies, you got these moms, right? And it's not like they weren't a little edgy before the delivery, and then after the delivery, they can even become more edgy, right? So do you have to give them some practices as a mother in the beginning that helps them become a better mother? Yeah. Same thing when you become a believer. Make sense? How many of y'all have ever raised a baby? What is the frustrating thing about children? Elizabeth, what was your frustrating thing about children? Especially as you have one sitting by you. What? When Blake was born, when they delivered him and pushed him into that room there and we turned him over his little diapers, it did have instruction one on it. No. How many of y'all realize that parenting is the only thing you don't get an instruction manual with your kid. Is that not amazing or what? Everything else, you get an instruction manual. I never read mine, but it'd have been nice to say, here's how to raise them. This particular model. What if you had like troubleshooting hotline that you could call in along the way as you parented? What do you do when my kid does this? What do you do when it does this? You do have that. It's called connecting them to what created them. Jesus. Then there's five practices that help us grow. Do y'all have to run constantly? Now listen, is Coach here today? Where is Coach? I don't think she's here. So I've got you all covered, okay? You ever get tired of running? Yeah, me too. I hate to run. I'm like, why do you got to run? Why don't you save up? You know, I was a football player. Let's save up for Saturday. Let's not run it all out on Tuesday. Let's save up. But coaches, they love running. Why? Because everything in athleticism involves moving. And guess what? Worship ought to not get rough. Worship is constant. These five faith practices are constant. Let's look at what they did. Acts 2, 41 and following. Here's what they did. And I pray that you engage in these. You run a check in your life. These are important to develop you spiritually. You ready? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Several of the elements we practice in the church there. First of all, guess what? I'm going to talk about Bible study. If you're not in a Bible study, guess what you need to do? You need to get in Bible study. Why do I say you need to get in Bible study? If you're going to follow Jesus, you better know what he's talking about. Now, some of you that have been in church a long time, you say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't need Bible study. I know all the stories. Let me just tell you what you just told me. I am a total idiot. That's what you're saying subliminally. I am stupid. I know these aren't politically correct words, but these are words that have meaning. If you think you can figure out an eternal sovereign God by a few little Bible study classes that you've been exposed to, or even if you've been into one of our very preliminary seminaries anywhere, and you can figure out the totality of an almighty God that put everything together, you have a very limited understanding of who God is. He is forever and ever. You know what that means? Whatever you read about him never stops teaching. God is never at an arrival point. We always are in him. There's always something to learn with God. How many of y'all find that? This is why I follow Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that never gets boring. Because just when you think you got to figure it out, God will show you something else. Isn't that cool? You never master God. What do you think? Now I know you say, well, Pastor Steve, I know so-and-so, and they say they got God figured out. Run. Run. Nobody figures out God. Randy, that's why he calls us to do what? Follow him. Cool? Follow him. Now check us out. Get the Bible study. Here at Hillview, we have Bible study opportunities. You can do it on Sunday morning. There are some Bible studies that are on Sunday night. There are Bible studies that are going at lunchtime, Monday through Friday. There's all kinds of Bible studies on Wednesday night, and there's even some on Saturday. So on the day of judgment, if you stand there and tell God that you didn't have time to get to Bible study, I'm going to go, I'm going to say, Lord, we scheduled it possible, but they thought other things more important. There comes a time to get reality. And don't tell me you won't do it. Y'all will drive your kids to Alaska for a soccer tournament. Craziest thing ever. Spend millions of dollars before they're 18 so that they might get a scholarship in college worth $10,000. Spend $50,000 on athletic development to get a $20,000 scholarship. Just save up your money and send your kids to school. Crazy. We've lost our minds. Lost our everlasting minds. Why? I want to show you what drives us. We want to be recognized. Last year about this time, I was brought to reality that every day is a precious day. I know we have those moments, but it was a friend of mine. A friend of mine who about 2 years earlier, God had gotten hold of him, put a vision in his life, and God just used him in marvelous ways in Nashville, Tennessee. Had a church that blessed several thousand people. We've seen a lot of people come to Christ in his ministry. He was from Glasgow, so he and I kind of came hillbilly friends. You know what I mean? Hanging out. We're both from Kentucky. And, Sunday, he was a preacher just like me. He's a preacher just like me. And on a Sunday, he got to be at a cool church. They had band. They had guitars. They had cool people came to church, you know. And he's out on this new adventure reaching around the Cool Springs area of Nashville. And he stands up and he preaches three services. He goes to lunch on Sunday afternoon. He goes to lunch. He has lunch. He does his thing. He loves his wife. Comes home Sunday evening, you know, probably chills out, watches some show that he's just sitting there really not watching. He finally goes to bed and he don't wake up Monday morning. He's 51. You know, it got me thinking. I think every day we live, we ought to live like it's our last day. And so in case it is our last day, guess what? We've lived a great day. And I'm not being morbid. I'm just saying we ought to wake up to that reality. Because you know what it jarred me to? How many days do I waste in my life? Every day ought to be embraced. And these five things go on every day. Have I worshiped God that day? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And let me tell you what. If you don't know who Jesus is, you don't know the rest of the Bible. I'm just going to tell you right now. You don't know the rest of the Bible. You got to know who Jesus is. Guess who wrote the thing? Jesus. How many of y'all are glad to know you get to know the author? How many of y'all have ever read a book and you know the author? In my life, just from what I do, I get sent manuscripts from some of my buddies that are writing books to review the manuscript before the book's published, you know, and I get my red pen out and go, watch this. This is you, not the Lord, da, 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 because I know the what? I know the author. And if there's a story about me in there, I always X that out. That doesn't need to be told. You see what I'm saying? There's edit that goes on. But you know what? Guess what? Embrace the day. Now, there's some things we got to be devoted to. I just want to give you a heads up on them. Worship regularly. Many of you do. But worship. Engage it, man. Get in here. Sing. If you can't sing, just try. Here's what I love about Hillview. There's so many good singers, you can sing bad and nobody will ever know it. There's people that think I can sing. That's because I sit by people that can. And listen, if you don't want to sing, at least give it the Milli Vanilli or Vanilla Ice kind of deal. You know what I mean? Just lip sync unto the Lord. Let him know you want to participate. Number two, build healthy relationships in your life. Would you please write this down? I want to help some of you right now. Now, some of y'all are going to get mad. Stay away from spiritual vampires. If you don't mind, look at your worship neighbor and go, stay away. Come on, tell him. Nathan, stay away. Now, these are what spiritual vampires do. You go, do you believe there's vampires? I believe there's spiritual vampires. And here's what they do. They get up next to your life. They're negative nannies. They bite. And then they do this. And every time you eat dinner, they're not eating dinner. They are sucking every bit of enjoyment out of your life that's possible. How many of y'all got some of those friends, no matter what's positive, they got something negative to counter it. And no matter how God gives you a great perspective on the world, they got one where the world's going to hell and nobody can change it. Y'all, any of y'all got any of those kind of friends? I'm telling you, Timmy, don't eat dinner with them. They'll bite you on the way out to the car. And what are they there for? To take away your spiritual perspective. So here's the way I define relationships. You need healthy, positive relationships. You say, well, what's the ingredients of a healthy relationship? First, you've got to have people to be honest with you. How many of y'all got somebody to tell you a jerk? They are such a good friend with you, they can say, you a jerk. Or ladies, they can say, you need to be quiet. How many, hey, ladies, any of y'all got a friend? Oh, I want to check this. How many of y'all ladies got another friend that can tell you to be quiet and you will? Three of you. That's what I thought. No, a real friendship, you can get honest with people. I got a few real friends in my life and they say, Rev, you don't need to be thinking like that. You're going to get off track if you do that. Those are called real friends. Here's what phony friends do. They agree with everything you say. Here's what vampires do. They make sure whatever you say, they're going to do counter likewise to it. Here's what spiritual friends do. They help each other discover Christ. So they're honest, they're loving, they're encouraging, they're relational. Oh, by the way, that's a good description of a healthy marriage. Healthy marriages don't point out what's wrong. They work together to get things right. Does that make sense? That's healthy marriage, man. That's healthy marriage. That's one thing I love about Elizabeth. She's always been a great, she gets splinters out well. She's always been a good splinter surgeon. Whether you get them in your finger or you get them in your emotions or you get them in your heart, she's very gentle to get the splinters out, but very encouraging. She wants them out. Does that make sense? So watch, we got to worship God with fervence. You got to have some healthy relationships. Men, you need a couple of guys in your life that can be straight with you. You need a couple of guys in your life that you can't buy off, push back, or get away from. And they say, hey, I want you. Boom. If you got a couple of men like that, for men, I say this. You need an older man in your life. You need a colleague in your life. And you need to be mentoring a younger man in your life. Every man that has any salt to him that are making a difference. If you're a father of sons, then you got your mentoring taken care of. You need a collegial relationship, and you need some old men that know how to tell you the truth. I love old people. How many of y'all love old people? The older I get, the more I love old people. I have a deeper appreciation for older people now than I ever have in my life. I don't know what's going on. But you know what I know? Earl and Cindy, I just want to tell you, I spotlight you because this, 62 years of marriage. Am I correct? Am I on the right one or 64? 66! Now, hold on. Now, first of all, a lot of people don't get to be married 66 years because they don't live that long. But let me tell you something. Now, this is the difference between Earl. I'm not impressed that they've been married 66 years. I'm impressed that they've been married 66 years and still like it. Now, that's what impressed. I mean, I've been to 50. How many of y'all have ever been to those 50-year anniversaries? And it really wasn't they were celebrating they'd been married 50 years. They were celebrating that they had endured each other for 50 years. That's not marriage. I want to go. I want to see. I mean, Earl still thinks Cindy's sexy because she is. And you know what? Cindy still dresses Earl up like it's the 1920s and he just got out of his Model T, baby, ready to make it happen. Now, that's living life. But hold on, I want to tell you something. Earl and Cindy back me up on this, and they've lived longer than the rest of us. They've always worshiped together. They've always studied the Bible together. They've always had some healthy friends in the Lord through the years in many different countries. I bet y'all pray together constantly. I bet you've given of your life and you've served God no matter where you were placed on the planet. Gee, stuff works. So did y'all have to go to marital therapy for 30 years of your marriage? Never. Not busting on any marital counselors. Okay, we need them in our culture. Here's why. Because people haven't worshiped. People don't know what the Bible says. People don't build healthy relationships. People only pray when they get in trouble. Have you noticed that? It's the American way. We don't want to talk to God or trust in God till we're out of money or a crisis is in our life. Haven't y'all found that to be true? But what if we stayed with God in the everyday? Coach, you've coached. Can you imagine going through a season, coach, and only playing the games? But can y'all imagine that? Michael, can you imagine you just finished your high school football career? Can you imagine if this was the position of our coaching staff? QB, don't worry about it, man. We'll take care of that on Friday night. Can you imagine going into one of those games that, hey, man, we'll just send, we know you've never seen these plays, but, hey, you'll catch on somewhere in the third quarter. How comfortable would you have felt being the quarterback? Weren't you kind of glad that we went through them before we got to them? Now, we could not prepare you for the 6'7", 275-pound defensive end that was coming off the corner that was a little bit faster than we thought he was on film. And it was your life, not ours. You had to make that up on the fly. But guess what? We were somewhat prepared. Watch, that's what all I'm telling you today, guys, is don't leave the things at work. And I just want you to see, they start in the Bible. They're not elementary. They're not immature. They're what makes it work. Look, those who practice this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to breaking of bread. They were in fellowship. They were in prayer. They were in the big five. And I just want to show you what happened as we finish up. You ready? This is what happened in the early church. Where is it, Nathan? Nathan, if you don't quit stealing my iPad, me and you are going to have a little problem over here, okay? Nathan, you've always been a great pulpit through the years. Look at here, Nathan. See, and you've seen this in this church. You grew up here. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, don't blow that off and say that was for Bible days. That's right now. You are a wonder and sign of the gospel of Christ. That makes sense? Who knows what God's going to do with you? Keep that mystery alive. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions, and they gave it to anyone who had need. Now, listen, don't let that freak you out. I want to show you where this is different. I'm just going to be very honest with you. Some of you are going to get mad, but I'm telling you the truth. The government, now I want you to know this, this is where you got to be careful about governments. The government gives food to the people to control them. Do you all understand that? You're going to have to wake up to this. That's what's going on in our government right now. If you want to control people, you give people free stuff. Okay? Because guess what people that don't want to work do? They love what? But they're not sharp enough to know that eventually you take enough free stuff, you're going to end up being a what? Under control. Now, Rome did it. Greece did it. America does it. Germany did it. All of them do it. They throw bread to the people. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus gives bread to the people not so that they will be imprisoned, but so they'll be set what? Free. You see, in Christ, we have no need. Just showing you facts. It's interesting to me. There's only one religion governments ever come against. Guess what it is? Come on, take a guess. Christianity, go read your history. George, you're a student of history. Is there any other? They don't do. I'm telling you, this is a Center College guy, okay? I mean, this guy knows history. Yeah. Watch this. We have an Iranian Christian pastor in jail in Iran. You haven't even heard about it on the news. Can you imagine if we were in Texas and we had an imam from Islam imprisoned right now? What would the national news be doing? Individual rights, individual rights. Religious freedom. Christian gets in prison. We don't even hear about it. You know why? He's already free. Here's why governments don't like Jesus. They can't control him. They tried. You put him on a cross, and 3 days later, he gets out of the grave. How do you contain that? You put him to death trying to silence it. And 3 days later, you wake up and you got a bigger mess than when you put him to death. Now he's risen from the grave. What do you do with that message? Before, he just died for the people. Now he's risen for the people. It's an uncontainable message. And that's why people get all upset about their followers. It's just amazing to me. How can people who graduated from Harvard and Yale and Princeton and, you know, Southern California and Berkeley and all these great bastions of intellectual marvel be so scared of plastic Jesuses? I mean, they're terrified over nativity scenes. I still don't get it. Do you? Why are they so terrified over the name of Jesus if they don't believe him to be real? Because the message that was preached in power 2,000 years ago has the same power today. And it terrifies them. So I'd stay with Jesus. Amen. Amen. And look what he said happened. Man, they ate together. They drank together. They fellowshiped together. They learned about Jesus together. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. That's learning and worship on a regular basis. They broke bread in their homes. How many of y'all like hanging out with each other? Let me rephrase. How many of y'all like hanging out with some people in the congregation? Okay, that's honest. That's honest. You don't have to hang out with everybody, but you need to hang out with somebody. Does that make sense? Every once in a while, I'm not talking every day. I'm talking about what? Connect with God together in the temple courts. Where are our temple courts today? Where's the temple courts in Bowling Green, Kentucky? Yeah, that's a great. Yeah, you're right, Robert. But where are they? I'm asking, where are they? Where are we at? That's bad grammar. Where are we at most times? Let me show you where some temple courts are. Walmart. How many of y'all have ever seen the temple courts in Walmart? Where do people go today? If we were writing the Bible today, Walmart's name would be in there, because where do a lot of people go? Can you imagine the stories we would tell about late night Walmart dress up? I'm guaranteeing the Apostle Paul would have to write to the church and say, to the church at Bowling Green, when you go to Walmart, you need to realize you represent Jesus Christ at 1 o'clock in the morning. You need to be not wearing what you're going to wear to bed as you go to Walmart. Okay? These are important elements. Walmart. That's the place. Where else are some places? What about in the mornings? Where do you find most people when you gather at Temple Courts? Minute Marts, junior food stores. You got some place to get coffee. Elizabeth's Temple Court, Starbucks. She's Starbucks nut. I tell her, it's the same coffee in Folgers. She said, it's not. I said, here's what Starbucks did. They bought a bunch of Folgers coffee and put Starbucks on it. She goes, they did not. And they didn't. Yeah, but that's her Temple Court. Where's your Temple Court? Where do you meet? Where do people see you? Mine's the IGA Crossroad. I got to stop in, pick up some weekly supplies and little round cans. Talk to everybody. See what's going on. Get a little cup of coffee or a Mountain Dew. Have a Coke. Wake up. Everybody's got a Temple Court. True? Meet there and let Jesus be released. And guess what happened? I got to finish up here. Enjoy the favor of all people. How many of y'all realize even people that mess with you are God intended? How many of y'all know some cranky people? How many of y'all know cranky people? I mean, just cranky. I love them. I didn't used to like cranky people. When I was a young pastor, I thought, man, God just makes some people cranky. Now, listen, I like loving cranky people. How many of y'all know loving cranky people? They want the best to you, but they're just cranky sometimes. Enjoy the favor of all people. Some people are happy. Some people are cranky. Some people are sad. Some people get it done. Some people never get it done. Enjoy the favor of what? All people. That's where we get that from Hillview. All people are welcome. How many of y'all have noticed if you looked around Hillview, it's a weird place? Because you're here. And just remember, don't get cocky. You're somebody else's weird. Never forget that. Never forget that. You know I'm telling the truth. You know, Don, now, I mean, to you, you look cool, right? Now, Don, just because you and I have known each other a long time, and I know you don't embarrass, and if you do embarrass, you need to grow up. Look at here. Now, look at here. Don, you've been to the airport, right?
Yes.
You ever seen a weird person at the airport? Yes. Yeah, me too. Hold on. Now, be honest. Y'all raise your hand if you've done this so Don won't be alone. How many of y'all have ever stared at a weird person at the airport longer than you probably should? Have you ever stared at them? Yeah, me too. I look at them. I'm like, good guys. Who would wear their hair like that out in public? Especially when I get in other places, because I'm like country boy. You know what I mean? You know, when I see a dude wearing pink pants with kind of, you know, pastel blue tennis shoes, I got thoughts. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest, girls. I'm not trying to be insensitive to culture. I mean, I'm old country boy. I'm like pink pants with light blue tennis shoes. Now, see, listen, I don't get judgmental. Some people call that fashion. I call that get that off soon, boy. Like when these young men started wearing girls' jeans, that threw me for a loop. I had to take a crew of our praise and worship kids. I said, hey, listen, apparently y'all don't know where the men's section to get men's jeans is. And so I was going to have a big tour to take all the boys over there and show them where you get Levi's and Wranglers. They's wearing like sheiks and bling blings. Before too long, I thought, now you ladies, that's fine. Y'all bling all you want. But you know, if Blake had a pair of jeans on that had like little, you know, the rhinestone cowboy on the back end of him, I'd be worried about him a little bit. I might call him over and say, son, we got to talk about something. You a married man, you don't need to be bedazzled. I'm just telling you about me, but hold on, I'm setting this up. I know some of y'all are already going to send me an email. I think you're very insensitive about guys who wear bedazzled jeans. Please don't send that to me. But guess what? You notice when you're looking at somebody, it's weird what's happening. They looking back. And they going, why's that guy cut his hair off like somebody put a level on top of his head? Why's he got little bars that run down the side of his face? Why does he wear boots when he could be wearing baby blue tennis shoes? What's the matter with this guy? I'm just setting a point, guys. Our job is not to judge people's outsides, but to do what? To bring them to Christ inside. You know what I mean? We got to be it all. I am sure there were weird people in the first century. I'm sure there were people. There's always weird people. But we're all weird in some way. And God said, I'm in favor of all of you being saved. I just want to stop here. I want to tell you, I know I talk about this all the time. And I know some of y'all think I just bring it up all the time because it's just something that I want to bring up all the time. I want you to know it's not that I bring it up all the time. God brings this up all the time. This is God's living heartbeat. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Jeepers! That must be important to God. 3,000 of them are baptized right off the bat. That would tell me that baptism is hugely, hugely, hugely important. And then he said, man, they worshiped and they went to Bible study and they built healthy relationships and they prayed together and they served together. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What seems to be important to you all? Mr. Clark, you've been here since you were a child. And now you're a grown man. What seems to be important? Those being saved. It's just God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of glad God likes to save people. How many of y'all are glad God's into saving people? Yeah. I'm glad God didn't say this. All good people get to go to heaven, and all bad people get to go to hell. I'm glad God didn't say that. Why? Well, let's just think. Raise your hand if you would make it to heaven on your goodness. Now, hold on before you get all cocky. I see some of you going, well, unlike you, Pastor Steve, I've never said a dirty word. I don't consider them dirty either, just inappropriate. Sometimes I say words that are accurate but inappropriate. See what I'm saying? How many of y'all have ever done that? Yeah, about three of you would admit it. I caught a few of you. I pulled out in front of one of our members one day. Last thing I heard was, thank you, Jesus. Or his name is worthy. I didn't hear that. You should have seen what happened when I pulled my sunglasses down and said, bless you, my brother. He goes, Pastor Steve, I said, don't worry about it. I'd have done the same to you. All right, here we go. See what I'm saying? We got to get real with people. Now, look. Watch this. Watch this now. Think about this. How many of you would get to heaven if it was just on your good merit? And you got to include your whole life. My hand ain't going up. Elizabeth, what about you? You're pretty good. You good enough to go to heaven? Absolutely not. I'm married to you. That alone sent you to hell that you would marry me. That alone shows that you don't have good judgment. Yeah. I suckered her. I stayed on her till she... Really, Elizabeth chased me. People don't know that. I just want y'all to know one of my sins. I'm guilty of bearing false witness a lot. So I just want to let y'all... See, that's what I'm telling you guys. We're sinners. But hold on. He's a Savior. And I just want to encourage us as a church. Let's not derail here. We're going to worship fervently, okay? God's doing some cool things in His church. Andy, we're going to keep serving people that nobody else wants to serve. I don't know about y'all, man, but thank you, teenagers. Man, like, don't tell me our young people aren't bad. You know what? I don't want to hear about our young people going to hell because I see a lot of them going to heaven. Maybe you just need to meet some new young people. You know where I saw a lot of our teenagers Friday night? At Jesus Prom. With people that everybody else leaves out. And they were in here, and guess what? They were getting a groove on with these kids. And these kids that a lot of people would leave out, they're grinning ear to ear, man, saying, my God is real. Don't tell me God doesn't work today. He works today. 21st century. Don't tell me all young people are bad because I've seen young people following Jesus Christ. Don't tell me everybody's on drugs because that isn't true. Some people are on drugs. Some people are. Not everybody. I hear that from everybody. I hear people come in and they go, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. Everybody smokes marijuana. I said, my wife doesn't. Well, everybody but her. I can give you a long list of people that don't do stupid stuff. And they're saved. That's what happened to them. And the Lord is going to add to our number daily. Those being what? Saved. I personally would like to see 3,000 reached this year. I mean, I think we ought to do better 2,000 years later. I figure the Spirit's been turned on for 2,000 years later. We ought to be a supercharged church. Not less than we were, but more than we're going to be. But we got to do those five things. So I just wanted to give you a heads up and want to thank you for being Hillview Heights Church, but I want to invite you to salvation because apparently Jesus Christ is like totally committed to that. He's so committed to that, they let him nail, he was nailed to a cross so that you and I might be forgiven. That's a lot of commitment, right? Most of us, we thought we were making a great sacrifice today to get up because it had snowed on the grass to drive on a clear road. That's sacrificial. Most of us are like, well, I'm here. Yeah, but without Jesus Christ, you're dead. I mean, we got to get real. And church, I want you to get some confidence. I really believe this with all my heart, soul, mind. I know things are going crazy, but Tony, here's what I'm trying. They're not any crazier than they've ever been. And if this is the Great Depression, it sure looks a lot different than the Great Depression I heard about from my grandparents who were actually there. Because they didn't go out to eat at O'Charlie's during their Great Depression. And they didn't have any diet programs rolling during their Great Depression because they didn't have any ability to overeat. You see what I'm saying? What's depressing for us is we don't get what we feel like we want. And that's a shame that we've been so blessed and we're so inward, we can't see that we got a God that's going to take care of us. If you stay with Jesus, I'm convinced of this. He feeds his people. Quail and manna, it may be it, but it'll be good if he gives it to you. Jesus said he'll clothe you, he'll feed you, he'll sustain you. But he never said this, so don't make him say what he didn't say. He never said he'd give you what you want.
No, he'll give you what you need.
He'll give you what you need. And don't take that verse, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's after you get a changed heart. If Jesus had given me some of the desires of my heart, I'd be in big trouble. How many of y'all have ever a heart that desired stupid things for you? How many of you are glad you didn't marry your first love? Elizabeth, I am because you weren't my first love. First time I met a girl, I met somebody else. But then I met you. Second. So I can sing second. But how many of y'all are glad you didn't do some of the things you thought you needed to do in a moment? Follow me. God brings us to heaven. Don't forget it. And he loves all of us. Amen. How many of y'all have heard today that God's in charge? Hello? He loves us no matter what. How many of you have heard you need to worship, you need to learn, you need to hang out with each other, you need to pray constantly, and you need to come to Christ? Let me extend this marvelous, beautiful invitation. Obviously, in a crowd this size, there are some people that need to come forward, or you need to, in your seat, say this and then come forward, but you need to get this done. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my what? Sin. You can decide to believe me if you want to. You can argue with me if you want to. I don't spend a lot of time on this argument, okay? There is one way into heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. I cannot make you follow that. That's not up to me. You're going to either choose Jesus is who he is or he's not who he is, but you don't have the right to make him like you. Amen. And here's what Jesus said. If you understand you've sinned, that means you've blown the Ten Commandments somewhere. How many of y'all have blown the Ten Commandments somewhere? Yeah, I haven't met a human being yet that's blown the Ten Commandments, that hasn't blown the Ten Commandments. And every human being that tries to convince me they've never broke the Ten Commandments is breaking one as they're trying to convince me. Because it says, if you have no sin, here's what it says in 1 John. 1 John says, if you say you have no sin, you make God out to be a liar. So I know that all of us have sinned. Well, you need to be forgiven. Who's going to forgive you? God's Son, Jesus Christ. Some of you need to slide forward this morning and say, you know what? Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. And he's going to forgive you. Some of you have already done that this week. And guess what you need to do? What's the first act of obedience? Baptism. And ladies, y'all know it's important. I'm going to talk to a lady. Heather, I'm going to talk to you for a second. If Wayne had asked you to be his wife and decided to not give you an engagement ring, how would that have been? Ugly. Hold on, I'm getting you where y'all can feel this. How do you think it feels to God when he asks us to be wed to him and we will not fulfill his first act, the ring of baptism? Because we have a personal problem with it. See, that shows we don't understand salvation. What happens during salvation, guess what? You give your personal problems to Christ and trust him to do what? Take care of you. That's called salvation. This is not salvation. I know God exists, but I'm going to do life on my own. Jeepers, you're a demon. It's what demons do. They do it their way in spite of knowing God very well. So come and join him in salvation. What do you think, Pastor Jamie? Jamie, you ever pastored any demons? Oh, I have too. I've seen God take them out too. God wins. Amen, Donna? He wins. Well, let's stand together and ask God to do what? Breathe new life in this place. Y'all come and pray. Say, Lord, help me practice these things you've shown me today. Come on, we're going to open this altar up. Y'all can come as I pray. Keep your eyes open. Close your eyes. However you listen to God best, do it. In the name of Jesus, here is God's invitation, compliments of Jesus Christ to you. Tell the Lord, Lord, I've sinned. I need you in my life. Just tell Jesus right now, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. Come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. If you've done that, you've repented, you know God's in you and you need to be baptized, ask the Lord. Lord, do I need to be baptized? Now I bet you're going to hear this. Yes. So come up here and let us know and let's get that lined up. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to start doing something. I know you're uncomfortable with this a little bit at 9:30. That's okay. Would you come and pray for people that don't know Jesus in our city? And I'm just going to ask you to do this. Lord, I need you to use me in my Minute Mart location, my Junior Food Store, my IGA location, my location at the Temple Courts, wherever I go on a regular basis, use me to share with them your power and your strength. Amen. Okay, this is open, guys. This altar is open. You come and you pray right now. You come if you need to be baptized. I'm just asking you to come. Lord Jesus, bring people forward today. Those who need to be saved, may they be saved. Those who need to be baptized, may they be obedient to coming and being baptized. Those who need to be healed today, may they come and kneel down and just realize you haven't left them. You're not going to forsake them. Those that need you, God, may they need you well always in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.